Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is recorded in Matthew chapter 8. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So who is this? It's a man tired out, sleeping soundly in a boat. Who is this? He is Almighty God of heaven and earth, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Here in this short account, we see Christ's deity and his true humanity revealed in such a clear way. Jesus is real man. He sleeps because he's tired. He sleeps so soundly that the terrible storm raging doesn't awaken him. He's a genuine man. Yes, he is without sin. In that way, that makes him more human than anyone else is or has been. You see, Jesus is what God created all of us to be. He is holy. He only wants what is good. He is full of love and forgives even his enemies. He trusts God without any doubts of any kind. He loves his Father in heaven. The perfect love required by the commandments is found fully and completely in him, in his every thought, word, and deed. His true humanity cannot be denied. This was not a pretend sleep. It was not a pretend hunger that he felt in the desert when tempted by the devil. It wasn't pretend blood shed in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he was whipped and when the nails were pounded in his hands and feet. This real man suffered. He suffered real pain, as we confess, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. This same man descended into hell to declare his victory over Satan. And this same man rose again from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven. Yes, he most certainly was and is and ever shall be a man. And he is also the eternally begotten Son of God. He is Lord of lords. He is the creator of heaven and earth, although he chose to lay aside the full use of that power. He cannot choose to be anything else than he is, true God. He is Almighty God, equal to the Father, as we confessed moments ago, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. So in this miracle, we see clearly his humanity as well as his divinity. Matthew is very concise and to the point in the description of this event. The storm comes on them suddenly and threatens everyone in the boat. The disciples, in fear, wake up Jesus and cry out, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Then Jesus asks them, "Why are they afraid?" and tells them that they have little faith. Then Jesus, with his words, orders the winds and the waves to be still, And it happened exactly as he said. What sort of man is this? This is the God-man who created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator and in charge of all creation. And what makes this so powerful is that this is not some God out there, some nebulous being out there in outer space, but is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us in the boat. The disciples don't seem to be able to see this, though. They were so afraid. And why? It's because of what they saw. Their faith was based on what they experienced with their own senses. They saw the waves pour over the sides of the boat. They heard the wind raging. They felt the spray of the water in their faces. All these senses told them that disaster was upon them, and they feared for their very lives. Their faith was based on what they could feel and experience, and that is a recipe for disaster. Faith that is based on feelings and experience is dangerous. Notice what Jesus does. He speaks words to them. He says those words, "Why are you afraid?" And then he recognizes the littleness of their faith. Jesus first speaks words to them. Words to encourage and to strengthen their faith. And then he speaks words to the wind and the waves. So in both instances, we see the power of the divine word, the same word that calms the winds and settles the waves, settles and secures faith. Throughout our lives, God directs our faith back to where it began. He draws us back to the water of holy baptism. And it was not just the water, but it was the word of God, that divine word, spoken by the pastor. It is that word that makes the water a washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the word that is the source of faith and that strengthens faith each day. This is where the assurance of faith lies, in the word of God. Maybe you have heard people say things like, if the Lord would only show me something, show me a sign, heal this person, get me out of this trouble. Or the opposite side of the coin. We might have run across people who have walked away from the faith because God didn't show them, didn't do that miracle for them. The assurance of faith does not come from seeing. It can only come from closing our eyes to what we see and listen to what God says. Listen to his word. We're reminded of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Of course, we have all those miracles that we have in Scripture, the miracles of Jesus, such as the changing water into wine, the healing of the leper, raising Lazarus, and we can look at these things with great wonder and amazement. But to look at this God-man, Jesus, forsaken by his friends, beaten, humiliated, nailed to the cross to die in an unknowable agony, this is the Jesus that we don't want to look at. But in the end, those displays of God's power in Jesus, all those healing miracles, saved no one. These disciples, saved from drowning in this terrible storm, eventually died. These displays of wonder and do not take away sins. The Jesus that we love to watch in these miracles does not save us by what we see in these miracles. It is the Jesus who the world regards as a failure. This is the Jesus who saves. It is the Jesus who hangs on the cross, suffering as a condemned man. It is here on the cross that all of God's wrath against humanity, against you and me, was diverted. It is here that he bore the guilt for our sins. And it is here that he destroyed the power of death forever. This is the Jesus who saves. This is the Jesus who forgives. The many miracles of Jesus point to a greater reality. It points to the restoration, the eschatological end of time, when all things will be remade, refashioned. And as we heard in our epistle lesson, that includes creation itself will be restored into that new heaven, the new earth, the new heavenly Jerusalem. So we no longer have to fear death. As Paul said, "Where, O death, is your sting? It is no more. For we have already died in the water of baptism. Do you not know?" Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So what can hurt us? Nothing. Because we have been baptized into Christ, we have been baptized into his death and resurrection, we will live forever, eternally. The disciples cried out, "Lord, save us." This is a cry of faith. But then those other words that followed, not quite faith, struggling words, "We are perishing." Those were words of impending doom, not words of faith. For we are not perishing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They were not perishing. We are not perishing. He faced death for us and defeated it. Through his suffering and death, he has washed us and made us clean and gives us eternal life. It may seem that Jesus is sleeping in the boat, but he is not. It may appear that Jesus is weak, but he is not. It may appear that he is unable to help us out of all the storms in this life, but that's not true. What appears to be is not what it is. The truth is what God says. What God says to you and to me is that there is no storm of life that can destroy us eternally. The God who became Emmanuel, God with us, is the one who suffered and died for us. And there is nothing that can tear us out of his hand. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.